Greetings, welcome to episode 41 of Dr. Will's Software Project Leadership Podcast, Connecting the AI Dots. It's reported that Microsoft is investing $1 billion, that's $1 billion with a B, in OpenAI, the parent of ChatGPT. We should be thankful that there are companies that are so generous and self-sacrificing and willing to help the open source community like that. Do you realize that there are no computers in Frank Herbert's Duneverse? Did you ever wonder why? Also, there's no escaping technology. If you'd be interested in a course, an online course, we'll soon offer, based on my best-selling book, What You Don't Know, Successfully Lead Software Projects Without Tech Expertise. We'll provide links in the show notes to the book and sign up for a free intro webinar. Back in the day, there was a natural language processing program. I hesitate to call it an AI because it was nowhere near as sophisticated as ChatGPT and its ilk. But anyway, Eliza was a program that mimicked the conversational style of a psychoanalyst. It would do this by parsing your typed input and reflecting back to you what you had mentioned in the form of a question. If things weren't moving along, they would drop a random prompt like, tell me about your mother. And my mother, you'd say something about your mother, and then would reflect that something back to you in the form of a question. A visiting English-speaking computer scientist from Russia sat down with Eliza one day and proceeded to chat with it. The authors of the program eventually had to ask him to stop. He was answering Eliza with, shall we say, embarrassingly personal information in response to the questions and prompts he was getting. On a seemingly unrelated note, it's encouraging to see how many tech companies have mastered the art of rewarding you with little shots of dopamine to get you to keep coming back and interacting with their platforms. It is a maxim, which, by the way, is defined as a succinct formulation of a fundamental principle, general truth, or rule of conduct, that if you are not paying for a service, you are the product. So we can be excited and glad that we don't have to pay for, say, ChatGPT, among other platforms that we use every day. Probably good that we are not paying for ChatGPT. I understand it exhibits a definite political and cultural bias. It actually refused to provide a response that violated its bias when asked by a human to do so. Recall Isaac Asimov's second law of robotics. A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. Offer this observation just in case you might be confused on the point of whether or not a robot will be a loyal and trustworthy servant. It won't be, or it will be, to its programmers, human or otherwise, but not you. To continue with the platforms themselves, you may have read that executives in these companies don't permit their own children to use them so that they won't become addicted. It's okay if your children become addicted. I don't think that it should concern anybody that the wealthy and powerful get to live by a different set of rules or guidelines than we mere mortals. Do you? I think I may have mentioned this in the previous episode, but it bears repeating. Neil Postman, in his fascinating book, Amusing Ourselves to Death, noted that two of the great dystopic writers of the 20th century, I know that's the last millennium, but sorry, George Orwell, 1984, and Aldous Huxley, Brave New World, diverged in their thoughts about what would doom mankind. What Orwell feared were those who would ban books. What Huxley feared was that there would be no reason to ban a book, for there would be no one who wanted to read one. Orwell feared those who would deprive us of information. Huxley feared those who would give us so much that we would be reduced to passivity and egoism. Orwell feared the truth would be concealed from us. Huxley feared the truth would be drowned in a sea of irrelevance. Orwell feared that we would become a captive culture. Huxley feared we would become a trivial culture. It's interesting to speculate on what happens when we no longer have usable memories, when we have to Google anything because we've been conditioned to rely on the platform rather than our own memories for recollection. The Ministry of Truth, you may recall, was the institution in 1984 that rewrote history daily to reflect the current narrative of Big Brother. A culture that is trivialized, a culture that is dependent on automated and biased technology for its information, even its memory, a culture that becomes dependent on robotic slaves to perform its critical functions is a culture that is headed for the ash heap of history that it can no longer recall, a history it may not be permitted to recall. So in the Duneverse, the computers were eliminated because they had tried to eliminate humanity. Replacing them were human computers called Mentats, who performed the necessary feats of memory and calculation. Paul Atreides, Maud Dibb, the protagonist of the story, was being trained as a Mentat along with everything else that he was being trained for. And finally on ChatGPT, don't worry about Microsoft's or the government's huge investment in your future. It can only be benign for them. This channel is dedicated to helping software projects succeed, not just in the short term, but in the long. And remember, if you're interested in an online course that we will soon offer based on my best-selling book, What You Don't Know, Successfully Lead Software Projects Without Tech Expertise, we'll provide links in the show notes to the book and a sign up for the free intro webinar for the course. That's it for me, for you for now. Hope you have a great day and a great week. Be careful out there. I'll be seeing you. Bye.